Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hillside Church Podcast. We believe God loves you, your past doesn't define you, and that God has good days ahead. Thanks for listening to the sermon. Our hope is that it equips you, inspires you, and encourages you in your faith.
Taking in service online, welcome you as well. If it's your first time, it's good to see you. And those listening during the week, man, we just love it that you're tuning in and being encouraged, being equipped in your faith. I've got a great announcement, an exciting announcement. If it is your first time, I'll just bring you up to speed really quickly. We needed more parking. People provided. Here is our Reach 2024 update. We can bring it up on the screen, everybody. You did it. You did it, somebody. Come on. You made it possible. I love it. I love it. I'm excited to announce, man, you made it. We got $15,000, everybody. $725. Incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for making that possible. I was excited. I got the privilege this time to meet up with Wingham Paving, everybody. And I got to meet Kent and hand him the check and just celebrate God's goodness. Something fun about Kent is they got the job done before y'all gave. You know, it doesn't always work that way. But how many of you know, faith is an awesome adventure to participate in. So thank you for being a people of faith. And thank you for being so incredibly generous. Man, isn't that great? Well, I want to highlight where we've been and where we're going in our message series as well. I want to let you know we've been in a series called, what is it called? How to Church. Thank you. Where I was focused. Don't mind me. I'm sure if it is your first time, your confidence just went up 100%. I was caught up. All right, here's where my mom was. I was caught up on the byline. I know what series we're in, y'all. How to Church. Five ways to get the most out of church. I recognize that in this room, we have some churched people. We also have some unchurched people. And I knew that after Easter Sunday, as God's been so good to us, and we've been growing, been engaging, and some of you have been spiritually growing, I thought I would lay out really some simple ways you can get the most out of church. The key word is simple, not easy. Maybe I'll do a series, five easy ways. I'm not sure there are, but five easy ways to get the most out of church. No. These are five simple ways that I practice. I'm not perfect, but I practice them. And I've noticed that when these five are at play, my spiritual life is growing. Now, I can't control how fast it grows, but these five practices within the local church have made a tremendous imprint on my life, and some of them are pretty obvious. The first one was attend, okay. Second one was give. Third one was serve, and I'm going to tell you the fourth one in a minute. Today's cliffhanger day, by the way. Before I tell you the fourth one, I've got a funny. I heard about this groom, y'all. At the wedding rehearsal, he said to the minister, "I'll make a deal with you. If during the vows you'll leave out all of that love, honor, and obey stuff, I'll give you $100. He slipped the $100 bill in the minister's hand and walked away with a smile. The next day, during the ceremony, the minister said to him, "Do you promise to bow down before your wife? To take her breakfast in bed? To fulfill her every desire?" He gulped in astonishment and said in a weak voice, "I do." Then he whispered in the minister's ear, "I thought we had a deal." The minister handed him back his money and said, "Your wife made me a much better offer." Oh boy. All right. All right. Well, the fourth out of the five today is invite. Invite. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Aren't you glad you're invited?" Invited. Invite. The power of an invite. I'm gonna talk today, unpack some passages of scripture, but just really my simple thought today, the Lord can do a lot with an invite. I just want to say that out of the gate. Irrespective of who you are, irrespective, let me say this, of all the introverts, of all the shy people, of all the ones who fumble and stumble through your words, the Lord can do a lot with an invite. The Lord can do a whole lot with an invite. I thought I'd begin today of a story I was reminded about as I was preparing for the message. I was reminded about, I'll share two individuals. One is named Tony, so keep Tony mainly in your mind, but another is called Billy. And before we were in southern Indiana, we were in Florida, the panhandle area of Florida. We oversaw campus, the first campus of the church we were a part of in a town called Freeport. It's quickly becoming a city now, but it was just a town. Two gas stations, a Hardee's, and a Subway, y'all. And God, so we made it. But I was reminded of the power of an invite. When I think about Tony's life, Tony moved to Freeport to care for his sickly mother. Unfortunately, she had been diagnosed with cancer, and they just weren't quite sure how long she would live. And so he had moved from Kansas City, and Tony left home in his mid-teenage years, and he got connected with, to my surprise, quite a gang life in Kansas City, which is at the time was a popular experience there. People would run away from home, runaways, and he had done that. He had left home at a young age in his mid-teenage years, got involved in some incredible, incredibly bad things, negative things, and even took the hit for some of the higher ups in his organization. And Tony was behind bars for over a decade and had lived really a ruthless and difficult life. And so upon getting out, he had gotten on his feet a little bit, only to find out that his mom, who happened to live, y'all, in Freeport, Florida, was sickly. And so he had went to her and was caring for her, was part of a more mainline denomination, and that she would attend every Sunday. And so he would go, and he was wrestling. It wasn't that the church was set up poorly or wrong. There was technically nothing wrong with it. He would just find himself there and not really getting much out of the service, which can happen. It can happen. And anyhow, he was just going about his day. And like I mentioned, we had a Hardee's, a Subway, we had a BP, and then we had a Shell. And he happened to be in the Shell gas station, in line, and ready to check out. Tony. Well, Billy, who'd been coming to our Freeport Destiny Worship Center campus at the time, had only been coming for about 6 months, and he was getting his life back together. Now, his story was quite different than Tony's. In some ways, he really had a leg up in life, and things were going well. But underneath the surface of his life, things were not where they should be. A young family, young parent, three kids, and some of them heading into teenage hood, so to speak, and navigating marriage, navigating parenting, and just really the weight of life. And I think the distance between where God was and where he was. And upon launching our campus, we actually got connected with his wife first, Billy's wife. We got connected with her because of a ministry that she had founded in Freeport to care for women who were putting their life back together. And so they came to church. They started getting connected. And listen, sometimes pastors, we don't know any better with the invitations we give. Like my pastor invited me, / told me, because he was also my pastor / boss somebody, to be at Tuesday morning prayer. And I said, really? Just kidding. Yes, sir. So I used to go to Tuesday morning prayer. Well, when it came time to launch this campus, guess what we started, y'all? Tuesday morning prayer. I didn't know any better but to invite men on a Sunday morning to Tuesday morning prayer. And here's what's crazy. They didn't know any better but to show up to Tuesday morning prayer. And so, man, it was great. Some of my richest spiritual times in that season happened with a group of between 5 or 10 men, Tuesday morning prayer. And 6 a.m., y'all. 6 a.m. exists, by the way. I didn't know that at the time, but I found out 6 a.m. does exist, and we'd meet for coffee. We really just began to talk about our life, and I began to challenge them, begin to encourage them. And here's what's remarkable, the parable that Jesus said began to play out, where he said the kingdom of God is like a little bit of yeast that works its way through the dough. That slowly but surely, these men's lives would be transformed by the gospel, the good news, and the hope of Jesus. And Billy, by golly, he didn't know any better either. And so he's in line at Shell gas station. And he invites Tony, not to church. He says, man, you should come to Tuesday morning prayer. And oh my goodness, Tony didn't know any better either. He showed up to Tuesday morning prayer. And listen, me as, you know, just so holy, just always getting everything right, saw Tony walk through the doors and was like, man, he must have the wrong address. What's he doing? I'm well practiced. I didn't say that out loud, y'all. I thought it. And we quickly bonded, got to know each other. He started showing up at Tuesday. Then he started showing up at Sunday. And then listen, guys, I wish I knew better, but I invited some of these men to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua. Tony didn't know any better. Neither did a couple other guys. And they showed up with me to Nicaragua. And here's what's wild. It was incredible. And on the lawn one afternoon, what do? When you have time on your hands? When you're in Nicaragua, you know what you do? You kick a soccer ball, somebody. And so we kick in the soccer ball. And here's what I didn't know. I did not at the time know all that the Lord had brought Tony through and was bringing him into. And so who would have thought kicking over a soccer ball, he just began to share part of his life story. You know, I'm kicking a soccer ball, one of my top 5 things to do. And here I am, like, fighting back the tears. Like, no, it's all good, man. It's the horseradish that I had last year. And here's what's remarkable. Right now, in Nicaragua, Tony is serving the marginalized, the poor, the orphan, with a missions ministry he started. Incredible. Incredible. Listen, I came ready this morning to tell you, God can do a lot with an invite. Even when you don't think you got what it takes to invite somebody. Even when I can certainly say your life is not all together. You never know what's on the other side of an invitation. When I look back over life, some of the less pre-planned moments have been the most planned by God. Some of the convenience store courageous, hey, you should come to my small group. You should come to church. You should come to Bloom. You should come to Sunday service. You should come to this outreach. Come to movie night. And some of those moments, you can't hold back the Holy Spirit when he wants to touch somebody's life. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, Tony, as he has lived a life that has been transformed by the good news of the gospel. The kindness of God and knowing, leaving home, so to speak, with that orphan spirit, that orphan mindset, fueled by rejection, fueled by anger, fueled with a longing to be loved and accepted, and others manipulating that and using it for their strength, for their gain, for their glory. Can I tell you, that is, in a nutshell, the principalities and powers of darkness. And Jesus' blood has come to break that. And how does he do that? Through you and me. Simple invites, simple opportunities. Come, follow me. Where we're going, I don't know. And neither does the pastor, evidently, but we just going. We heard about Jesus and we keep showing up, somebody. We want to become like him. We want him to touch our lives. We want him to heal us. We want him to provide for us. We want him to make a way where there seems no way. Well, do I have to have it together? No. Do I have to have all the answers? No. Can I come dressed like this? Well, you don't know what they're wearing yet, y'all. You're just saying yes. Yes, you can. No matter how you are, you come as you are. Come as you are. That's what we believe in, the power of the gospel, that it is the foolishness of the world. But aren't you glad it is the kindness and goodness of God that we participate in? So grateful for the power of an invitation. I want to share two quick invites. Jesus gave. One is Matthew 4:19. It's a steady life verse for me. When things get complicated, when things get confusing, I keep my eyes on Jesus. Simple, simple, simple. Three words, y'all. Come. Follow me. And Jesus would say that to Peter and Andrew on the shores of Capernaum. Hey, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And their life was lived in such a way. They didn't have it together. They didn't have it figured out. There's a good chance they had heard and known about Jesus. There's a chance that they even grew up with him in some respects and had heard these whispers of one who would come and had spoken, set people free, changing their lives. And, you know, fishing was a pretty good way to make a living. I don't want you all thinking like, yeah, all we got's fishing. Yeah, let's go. No, it wasn't quite set up like that. Jesus said, come and follow me. Can I tell you, no matter where you are today, the invite of Jesus remains the same. Come, follow him. Come follow him. All your sin, all your brokenness, all your weakness, all your frailty, all your doubts, all your fears, come, follow the one. Will he give me all the answers immediately? Good chance, no. Will he fix everything? Good chance, no. Will he lead me to life? 150%. His invitation says, come, follow me. I also think of a powerful invitation that he gave to a man named Matthew, who's recorded as writing the first gospel that we have in our New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew was an outsider. Matthew was marginalized. Matthew himself had betrayed the covenant of God with the people Israel in the religious leaders' eyes. Because now he was not only taxing Roman inhabitants, he was taxing his fellow sisters and brother Jews. There had been no surprise for his family to have shut him out and rejected him. The last thing you do is you join the enemy's camp and then profit off your own people. Matthew seemed to have done it willingly. And Jesus, much to the confusion you can imagine of the disciples at that point, he makes a staggering announcement as he looks at Matthew and a similar invitation. Follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And what do? When Jesus follows you, he gets all up in your house. And that's what he did. Matthew, come follow me, and now we're going to your place for dinner. So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. I can imagine them thinking to themselves, you mean there's room for us? You called Matthew? Whoa, what? And Matthew's like, ooh. Well, let me call my Rolex of everybody. And he goes, just calls them all. Says, come on, let's have dinner. Jesus is going to talk to us, teach us. All these sinners, all these tax collectors, they all come and they're having a great meal in Matthew's house and more than likely on Matthew's dime. And when the Pharisees, you know, just the pastors, priests, religious leaders of the day, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That is a sin to be doing that. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Love that. Not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Aren't you grateful for the invitation of heaven on your and my behalf? I love that. I love that. I want to frame just the remaining moments, the remaining minutes that we have with the why, which is for many of us, it's going to seem really obvious, the why of an invite, and then briefly conclude with the how of an invite. So why we invite, I'll just tell you, just in case you're here and you don't know why somebody near you invited you to church, I'm going to answer on their behalf. They want you to meet Jesus. They want you to meet Jesus. They believe Jesus. I'll speak on their behalf for a moment. They believe Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to them. Now, they don't have it all figured out. They don't have all the answers. They don't necessarily even know Jesus as their best friend yet, but they're learning. And what they've experienced so far is that Jesus leads them better than anything else in this world ever has. And so part of their invitation to you, part of that text message, that email, that Facebook share, that whatever they got into your hands to say, come on and join me. Here's part of the reason. They've been praying for you, and their invitation would lead to your salvation. That your invitation or their invitation to you would lead to salvation. That at the end of days, when our time on this earth is past, they believe in a real heaven and a real hell, and they want you in heaven with them. They want you experiencing the love of God, the hope of God, the peace of God, and they want you living in eternity with them versus living separate and distant from God. And we believe here the power of salvation. The power of an invite can lead to salvation. That the gospel is good news, that forgiveness of sin is real, that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than any of our sin cycles and brokenness. And that irrespective, if you come here and you've got it all together, you need salvation. If you come here and your world is falling apart, you need salvation. And Jesus is the one who saves. And your friend, your family, they're just a piece to the puzzle. But God's the one who does the work. And so we believe when we invite others, our end game, we don't have all of the same end game, but one of the pieces is this very thing, that it would lead to salvation for eternity, but here's the deal, in the here and now, that you'd be saved from your addictions, that you'd be saved from your fears, that you'd be saved from your anxieties, that you'd be saved from the guilt, the shame, the distance between you and God, and you would learn to walk as a friend of Jesus. We believe that's possible. We know what it looks like to have somebody to call on 24/7, the creator of the universe. And he's made a way through the name of Jesus. And Ed Stetzer wrote a great article in 2017. He wrote an article that CNN shared publicly. I look back and I'm just like, wow, that's awesome. How did that happen? But in 2017, Ed Stetzer, a Christian leader, thinker, pastor, church planner, theologian, I could go on. Ed Stetzer wrote this article and he said, why your friends invite you to church. And he lays it out all of the different ways, like what is your friend getting at? And he has this line, he says that Christianity is a missionary faith, like it's mission-minded. It's mission-minded, like it's who we are. We're not just thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about the others that don't know the love of God. Like, let's just be honest, Christianity is thinking about those who woke up this morning with no parents. Or those who woke up this morning with parents who've done them wrong. Or those parents who woke up, their breath is still reeking of alcohol, and they're still fumbling through to try to get sober. relapsed, looking for a recharge, some form of recovery. How's God going to get them? You and me, and an invitation. An invitation. Not just an invitation to church, don't mishear this message, but an invitation to hope. An invitation to a fresh start, a new life, to have an advocate that's on your side, who prays, who cares, who ministers to you and through you, called the Holy Spirit. That's a gift of God unto us. That salvation is working in and through us. And he says, Ed Stetzer says, listen, Christianity is a missionary faith. You know what's wild is there's some, I don't know if the word's magicians, but have you ever heard of Penn and Teller? They're a little older now. Famous magicians, sort of, you know, optical illusions, all the things. And they're pretty famous. Well, Penn is quoted in the article, but he's been interviewed. He's a pretty renowned and famous atheist. And he says, man, I think Christians sharing their faith makes perfect sense. Because if I believed what they believed, I'd be inviting people too. I'd be telling them about Jesus too. If you truly believe that at the end of days there is a heaven and there is a hell, that if you truly believe at the end of days that there is relationship with God in eternity, or non-relationship, distance from God for eternity, Penn's like, if you're not sharing the good news as a Christian, what exactly are you doing? And then after 30 minutes of conviction, I got up off the floor and was like, I'm glad he said that. Now listen, we don't want to live in a panicked, anxious state. No. We want to live sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We want to live prayerful. We don't want to live courageous. But we want to live surrendered to the Lord. I don't want you leaving here in some kind of striving, you're not doing enough. No. I want you remembering what God can do on the other side of an invite. It's not your job to fix somebody. It's not your job to save somebody. It's your job to be prayerful and at the right time to announce the good news, the hope of God. All sorts of ways to do that. I've got my friend Eric at JC. Every single person who goes through his checkout line, he's smiling. He's like, man, it's good to see you. God bless your day. That's it. I haven't officially done the math, but he's been working there for a long time now. And I just think about how many people have left, God bless, as they walk out of that store like, wonder if there's something to that. What is that? That's that little bit of yeast working its way through the dough. I wonder where you are with what you're doing. How simple. Every once in a while I'm in Planet Fitness, getting my workout introvert on with my headbuds in, every once in a while, on a good day, Lord, would you touch everybody in this room? You know their story better than I do. God, I know you don't want me to be weird, stand on one of these machines and start screaming. And even if you did, you probably know I wouldn't do it, but I'm just being real, God, thank you. And I'm like, Lord, would you touch them? Would you send somebody across their path? Would you meet them in the season of their life? Like I said, on my good days, I'm conscious of that. But imagine all of us, all of us in this room, imagine if we left. As we show up out back, Lord, thank you for the server you're sending our way. I'm planning to tip them really big, so let them be good, God. Don't test my patience. But God, bless them. May we be the best Christians they've had all year for Sunday lunch. It's amazing what God can do. Amazing what God can do the other side of an invite. Two. We'll do two. I've still got 10 more points, so I needed another mic. Invitation leads to salvation. Invitation leads to transformation. We want to see God do amazing things in your life. Key phrase being, God do amazing things in your life. The church, us as individuals, we're set up to be a vessel of the goodness of God. So our heartbeat is that as we invite, we know that in time, God does the work. Amen? And by golly, the best part of spiritual warfare is to outlast the enemy. So we got the gift of patience bubbling forth in every facet of our life. And that's one of the key wins to spiritual warfare. Patience, somebody. The fruit of the Spirit. And so we are patient with people. Patient with one another. And God is so good that in the right time, He begins to do His work. Listen, I thank God for the challenge of mercy, but I could have tried to give Tony all the best advice all the time. Hey, Tony, let me try to, hey, here's how you can fix this. Here's how you can fix that. Here's a verse to fix that. Here's a verse to fix that. Do this. No. I realized I'm here to partner with what God's already doing in His life. And so that's how we operate. We don't lead with sin first. Hey, get it all together. No, we lead with the mercy of God first. That in the trouble and the brokenness and the fear and the anxiety, listen, Jesus says there's a place at the table. Call upon His name and begin to walk in that transformation. Begin to walk in that transformation, and slowly but surely, all the different sin cycles and brokenness, God begins to heal. Come on, the brokenness of sexual addiction, the brokenness of pornography, the brokenness of jumping the gun instead of being pure, the brokenness of cycles of sin and rejection, of fulfilling all of our desires and longings with all the pain pills, so to speak, of life. God begins to say, you're my beloved. You're my chosen. You're the one I paid the price for. Follow me. Begin to do what I say and watch what happens. That pit begins to shrink and you begin to grow and grow and grow and go. It's the power of transformation. We boldly declare that God is doing a good work in our life, that He's transforming us into His likeness. Salvation, transformation. That's the why, and the how, very simple. I'll end with this. The how is this. Remain sensitive to the Lord. That's the how. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Your first step, I'll just say this. Your first step is prayer. There's a good chance the last thing you need to do is write down all the names of your coworkers and invite them tomorrow. But there's a good chance you need to write down the names of your coworkers and spend a month in your prayer closet praying over them. God, would you work in their life? Would you move in their life? God, would you convict them? God, would you heal? God, would you comfort? God, would you move? Like, when was the last time you did that? You begin to do that, you become prayerful, prayerful, prayerful. By golly, Billy didn't know any better. I'm like, Billy, gas station. He's like, why not? Of course. Every place my foot treads is territory for the kingdom of God. Okay, Billy, you go, man. You go. Wherever you see yourself, go, go. Invite, invite, invite. But what was he doing? Prayerful. Prayerful. Not perfect, prayerful. Not perfect, prayerful. Courageous. And surrendered. There'll come a time we gotta maybe invite. We gotta speak. We gotta say, come sit with me. Come and see. So we get prayerful. We can be courageous. And then that final thought is be surrendered. Surrender our expectations and desires to the Lord. Amen? Obey and leave the rest to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, it says this. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are, here it is, co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Amen? We believe part of your experience in the local church is to invite somebody. Now, you may be in a place like, you got to invite them to church. We applaud that. We're fist pumping you. Do it. Do it. Do it. Invite. But also, let your life be lived as an invitation to Almighty God. Where they stand back and they see the way you talk to your spouse, the way you talk to your kids. Not perfect, somebody. Not perfect, but healthy. Walking to the goodness of God. That they would see the way you treat others, the way you operate when that person cuts you off in traffic. The way you navigate when misdeeds are done, how you forgive, how you care, how you love. Can I tell you, that is seed as well, somebody. That I've heard it said, this isn't that message, but I've heard it said, preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words. I know, right? Incredible. Lord. Lord, we're here because you do a lot with an invite. And I thank you so much for every story that is seated in this room right now, that is taking this in online, that is under the sound of my voice. And I thank you for the glorious story you're writing in their life. I thank you, God, that they're not where they necessarily want to be yet. But when we think about where we could have been, what can we do but worship and give thanks for who you are? We thank you, God, for pulling us out of the pit, for setting our feet on the rock, and for giving us new life in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts again with the good news of the gospel, to be a church that goes, God, in our own way, with our personality, with our experience, with our wiring, God, that we wouldn't see it as anything wrong, but we would see it as an opportunity, God, with maybe as shy as we are or as quiet as we are, Lord, we thank you that there's power in our deeds and power in our words. I thank you, Lord, for this region and all that's happening in the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're still writing miracle stories. And Lord, we honor you. We thank you, God, for what you can do with an invite. And I thank you, God, for your people being filled up by your Spirit, going forth on mission, Lord, to love the world back to you in Jesus' name. Come on, just with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, just in a holy moment right now. If you're here today because Jesus has been calling you to relationship, I'll just shoot straight with you. He wants to be your friend. Not in some Mr. Rogers kind of way, but he wants to be a real friend. But he needs to be invited in. And that can happen right now. Yes, he's the best help when it comes to eternity. On the cross, he paved the way. He made a way for our eternity. But I can testify he's the best help in the right and now. No matter what you're walking through, he'll walk you through it. And by golly, there are so many moments that he's had to pick me up and carry me through it because I didn't know I could go forward. That's who Jesus is. He loves you better than you've ever been loved before. He knows what's best for your life. Call upon his name just in this moment. Say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Let's just keep it simple. Today, 28th of April, 2024, let's just keep it simple. Say, I need you, Jesus. I just sense somebody needs to do this. Our eyes are closed, right? Come on, let's just keep our eyes closed right now. Come on, if you just sense in the Lord, whether you've been saved, saved for the first time, need to resurrender, just stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. If that's you, I need you, Jesus. Just right now in this place, I need you, Jesus. I need you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for filling us up. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit touching our lives, transforming us. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. We love you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate his goodness. He's faithful. He's faithful.